house today. And I appreciate the opportunity to preach, Brother Brian. And I shared with a couple of people that you called me last night at 8:30. And I was in the midst of watching Alabama get beat by somebody. I don't know, I was rooting for Alabama. And shut the TV off, and I looked on my computer because I had a thought that I've been thinking about all week, and couldn't find the sermon. And I gave all my theology books away a few months ago, and I'm selling my house, so all of my sermons are in storage. So it's really hard for a preacher to actually have to rely upon the Bible to get his message at night. And so I stayed up till 3:30 in the morning. So, Brian, if I fall asleep when I'm preaching, y'all just dismiss and go to food. There you go. All right. Well, thank you. And last week I mentioned it would be a Russian, I call it Russian roulette, but hopefully not. And I thought I had something on my heart, and it's not what I was talking about today. And it's really something really pressing my heart. And then so I just went and sat in the back, and I hope he doesn't call on me. And then during handshaking time, Brian's going around shaking hands and smiling. Do you ever feel like when he smiles at you, you've done something wrong? I did. And I'm sitting on the back row, and I said to myself, here he comes. And he went the other way. And then so I'm sitting there, and Brother Smith preaching, and I thought, he went over his 15 minutes a lot of time. And then he was in there like an hour and a half. And I thought, I don't think I'm going to get a preach. So at any rate, I'm thankful for the opportunity today. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for the cross. We thank you for the shed blood. We thank you for the resurrection, that we have a hope and our home is in heaven. Our salvation is secure. Father, I pray that you would be glorified today in our lives. And pray that you would speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Located in your Bible, the Gospel of Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. While you're locating Luke chapter 24, we understand that Luke chapter 23 and other portions of the Scripture, the other Gospels, show us the death of Christ. The cruelty of the cross. In fact, that's where we get that word crucifixion. The word that we use in the English language is excruciating. There was no man that ever suffered like Christ. And he did that for me. It was scandalous to be someone to endure such an affliction or to be placed upon a cross. You had to be a villain. But this was the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he's buried. And now we have in the book of Luke chapter number 24, and I want you to notice in verse number 1, now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabouts, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Now, we know this to be angelic beings. Acts chapter 1 and verse 11, we know that there were angelic beings present when Jesus ascended to heaven. And they said, say not ye. In fact, that is the only time in the Bible that heaven is mentioned three times in the book of Acts chapter 1 and verse 11. In verse number 5, and they were afraid and bowed down the faces to the earth. And they said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. What a glorious announcement. You know, the song, special was sung last week, He is Risen, or He Arose, one of my favorite songs. And I told Brother Brian last night on the phone, with all the music and the preaching and everything, the entire day. And in fact, it was my birthday. Thank you for celebrating with me. I'll be receiving gifts all month, in the month of April, right? I said my mule just about got loose in my corn crib. You ever hear that expression? I was just sitting back there in the back row being backslidden with all the other backsliders. Sorry. Love y'all. I always tease people about the back row Christians, but I know you got a reason. He's not here, but He is risen. What a great concept. Think about that. He said, remember how He spake unto you when He was yet in Galilee. Christ told them these things. He said, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered His words. But here's the issue. Here's the problem. In verse number 11, it said, and their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. So a great deal of doubt had settled in on the disciples concerning the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, because they had not seen Him at that particular moment, that particular time. And so now we have the two disciples on the road to Emmaus, and Jesus making an appearance with those two disciples, picking up in verse number 13. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 80 furlongs. That's about 11 miles. They were on foot. And it said, and they talked together of all these things which had happened. I wonder what it was that they talked about. I believe it was about the, no doubt, the crucifixion, the report of an empty tomb, the missing body of Jesus. And remember, they're in that group that didn't believe the report. They viewed it as idle tales. Stories. It's not true unless we see Him. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus Himself drew near. I like that. And went with them. Aren't you thankful that Jesus Himself draws near in your circumstances and my circumstances? When I don't have to ask Him, Lord, would you be near me? He's already here. Jesus Himself drew near, took it upon Himself to come close to them. And the psalmist David declared that God is a very present help in the time of trouble. He's right here with you. And He'll go home with you, and He'll be with you all week. Thank God for that. The Bible tells us to draw nigh to God. Draw near to God, and what will happen? He will draw nigh to us. And so if you don't feel a nearness and closeness to the Lord, then get close to Him. Draw near to Him. Stop listening to everything else. Get alone. Turn everything else off. And listen to God. Draw nigh to Him. And Jesus Himself drew near. But here's the problem, verse number 16. But their eyes were holden that they should not know Him. Now, what does that mean? That means their sight was restricted. They were unable to see this was Jesus. Interesting. They saw Jesus in many occasions, but on this occasion, and of course Christ in His glorified sense here, a resurrected body, they did not recognize Him, or they were hindered by the Lord from recognizing them. Now, during the crucifixion of Christ, there was a great darkness that fell upon the earth for 3 hours. That was a spiritual eclipse. Now we're talking tomorrow, an eclipse. And people are, oh my, there's going to be an earthquake, and Arkansas is going to be divided. We're going to have two continents. Thank the Lord. I'll have waterfront property, and I'll be able to up my price. I'll miss some of my relatives over there on the Delta, but that's okay. They'll do fine. They can swim. But we need to be concerned about the eclipse of Christ, the crucifixion of Jesus. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 tells us in verse number 2, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid from those to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Jesus came into this world to seek and to save that which was lost. And in verse number 17 in our text, he said, and he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that ye have one with another as ye walk and are sad? You see the concern here of the Lord Jesus. You say, nobody cares about me. Have you taken it to the Lord? And they go on to verse number 18. One of them, which was Cleophas, answered and said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem? Could you imagine? Because of the fact that they didn't recognize him, now they're accusing him of being a stranger to all the events that took place, and he is the central figure of all their thinking. Very interesting how this plays out. And let me just say, he knows you. He knows everything about you and me. He knows every ache that you have, every pain that you have. I've been suffering with asthma. How many of you have asthma? I found out why. I was sitting next to Gary McHenry. And I would get up, and what, Pastor, while you would preach, you'd be getting right into it, and I'd get up and leave. And I bet you he thought, Rex is backslidden. No, Gary was giving me problems. And I'd listen on the way home. And we all have our issues, and you say, well, take it to the Lord. I did. I took it to the Lord, went to the doctor on Friday, and she gave me some good meds. So I'm halfway there. Amen. Now, Jesus responded after he asked them, why are you troubled? He said, what things? Talk to me. Tell me about it. Have you taken your burdens to the Lord? Have you talked to him? Oh, my, what he wants to do with you and I in a secret relationship, a quiet relationship. And they started out and they said unto him concerning Jesus of Nazareth. Well, he was Jesus. All that transpired, they shared with Jesus. Jesus was there. He knew. In verse number 25, and he said unto them, O fools of slow heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and entered into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. What a sermon. Here he draws near. They're on the way to the city, their village, Emmaus, which is 11 miles. And they say it takes 13 minutes to walk a mile. Takes me longer if there's a McDonald's on the way. But 13 minutes to walk a mile. And so Jesus goes in all into the Old Testament without having any script. And of course, he is all knowing. And he expounded unto them the scriptures, all things concerning himself. Think of Isaiah 53. He was so marred more than any man. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. Who hath believed our report? And we go to Psalm 22. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? That was a cry of Jesus on the cross. Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. I don't think Jesus was questioning. I don't think Jesus was wanting to walk away from pain for our sins. But I think there was that thing of, I don't want to be separated from the Father. My God, why has this? And they constrained him as Jesus drew near in verse number 28. And they drew nigh unto the village, whether they went. And he made as though he would have gone further. And they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, for the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat. This is great. I love this. He sat at meat with them and took bread. Now, we're going to be doing that in a couple of hours after Brother Brian preaches his message, an hour message. Amen. And took bread and blessed it and brake. And when he gave it to them, What happened? Their eyes were opened and they knew him. Praise God. What a great revelation. And he vanished out of their sight. So here we have, after the resurrection, we have open eyes. Are your eyes open today? Have you seen all that Jesus has done for you upon the cross? That he died for you, that he was buried, that he rose again the third day? And he is interceding for you. He's calling for you. He's got his hand outstretched for you to come to him. Call upon him. In verse 32, and they said one to another, did not our hearts burn, or our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? And so not only were their eyes open, but the scriptures were open. We understand that. You can't talk to people about Jesus unless you have the Word of God. Unless you speak to them about God's Word. And I like the effect here. He said, did not our heart burn within us? I believe that burning was a conviction. It was a yearning. And when Jesus was delivering the Word to them, there was this tugging at their heart. And there was hope that was being resurrected in their soul. Let me encourage you, if you're not a student of the Word on a personal level, get back there. Amen? Get back in the Word. We need to read the Word to read it. Amen? We need to read it to heed it. What does it say? Do what it says. We need to read the Word to feed other people, and to lead. And as you and I take the Word of God into our lives, there should be a changing on a day-by-day basis. If you get away from the Word, you're going to get away from the Lord. And so get into the Word of God. The Scriptures were opened. Their eyes were opened. They rose up that same hour. Isn't that interesting? Because it was getting toward evening, and they decided they wanted to go back at dark, a dangerous time, to go back into the city of Jerusalem and tell the other disciples. And what did they say? They were pretty despondent. And when they left the disciples, they were all despondent. And I suppose they walked in and said, well, guess what? The Lord's risen indeed. You think that's how he responded? No. The Lord is risen indeed. And he's revealed himself, he showed himself, appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. How he opened their eyes. And as they spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them. There he goes, drawn near again. Amen, I like that. And he saith unto them, peace be unto you. But when they were terrified and affrighted and supposed that they had seen the Spirit. Then Jesus goes on and shows them his hands and his feet. And their eyes were opened. And verse 45 said, then opened he their understanding. He opened their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures. We need the Holy Spirit to teach us the Word of God. It's not the words of man, it's the words of God. And he illuminates his Word. And he opened their understanding and said unto them, thus it is written, thus it behooved Christ to suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, not just the Jewish nation. And so now we have an opportunity. We see an open door for missions to preach the gospel to the uttermost parts of the earth. And he said, ye are witnesses of these things. You're going to be able to partake in this. In fact, the way that God worked in their life in Acts chapter 8, if you remember, there was persecution that was going on in Acts chapter 8 and verse 4. And they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the Word. And God uses persecution to spread His Word. I wonder in America if we have persecution coming down the pike. Or have we become lazy and lax in our Christianity? He said, "You're witnesses of these things." And then he led them out as far as Bethany, lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And we see an open door into heaven. Boy, isn't that an awesome thought? Open heart, open their understanding, open the Word of God, open opportunity to preach the gospel in Jesus, taken up in the heaven because He lives, we shall live also. He took captivity captive. Before then, the saints of God did not go to heaven. They went down into that chasm, that place called paradise. And it said in verse 52, "And they worshipped Him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising God and blessing God." Amen. Well, that's interesting. What a change of events. Here we have them, their hearts are open and their mouths are open praising God. What a shifting of attitudes from being despondent and saying the resurrection of Christ was idle tales. What changed? The presence of the Lord Jesus Christ in their life. And Jesus Christ's presence in your life and my life can do great for you and me when we're discouraged, when you're depressed, when you're down. You know, all of us in this room, we've gone through some severe difficulties, testings in our time. And I've learned in my short 39 years, in my short years, that trouble, as sparks fly upward, so is the trouble of man. It's going to come. But how do you respond to it? You know, I can't explain. We can't explain why volcanoes go up and planes go down. But it happens to lost people too. They go through struggling too. But here's the difference. Jesus Christ is with you when you go through trouble. And He magnifies Himself in those situations and He draws close to you. I saw a lady yesterday. I don't know if you have them in Fayetteville, but up in Bentonville, they have these little things on the corner with food in them and people can come and get some food. And I passed by her and I just felt the Lord tugging at my heart to go over and talk to her. And when I got out of my truck, she said, "Can I help you?" And I think I scared her a little bit and began to talk to her. And she said, "Well, I'm recovering." She said, "God paralyzed me so that I can learn how to talk to Him." What an attitude. "It is good that I have been afflicted." You know, God on many occasions will strip everything away from us so that all that we have is Him. Amen. And that's all we need. Now, none of what we read up to this point could have any meaning or could have taken place unless we understand the power of the resurrection. So I want you to go back to the beginning of our text in Luke chapter 24, verse number 1. You know, the song was appropriate, Leanna, last week. I'll rise again. That is literally what resurrection means. It means to stand up. If you're dead, stand up. I'll rise again. And that's what Jesus did. In Luke chapter 24, verse 1, he said, "Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain other with them, and they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre, and they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus." It signifies that the Father had accepted the sacrifice of His Son. You know, the resurrection gives us hope of a future life. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verses 1 through 3, Paul said that he delivered the gospel. He said, "That which I also received, how that Christ died, that He was buried, and then He rose again." Another passage of Scripture, Paul told the disciples, "I don't want to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And we know that is encapsulated in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I'm going to offend some ladies today. If you wear crosses around your neck, I'm not preaching against God, bless all little crosses around your neck, but some of the men might have it. Well, why don't we wear something that represents the empty tomb? I bet you'd get more comments. What's that thing on your neck? Looks like an egg. You know, well, that's the empty tomb. What does that signify? And so Paul in 1 Corinthians 15, and in fact, I'd encourage you to read that this afternoon, deals with the resurrection, the death, burial, and Christ. He said, if Christ be not raised from the dead, say, we're of all men most miserable. Let's go fishing. There's no need to go to church anymore. If Christ is not risen from the dead, but he has arose from the dead. And Paul said, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? There's no sting in death for the believer. The hope that you and I have is that when I die, I'll come into his presence immediately. I think of that song that was sung at my brother's funeral. I had the opportunity to lead him to Christ. Finally home, just think of stepping on shore and finding it heaven. Touching a hand and finding it God, breathing new air and finding it celestial. Someday we'll be finally home. Called my sister. I have five sisters, and I had one brother with the Lord. We were so poor, we all wore the same clothes. Literally, my brother and I, we were the youngest, and y'all know what a can-can is, ladies? The can-cans, the things that made your dresses poof out. I don't know why y'all still don't wear them, but my brother and I would put the can-cans on our head and run uptown and act like Indians. It was a small town, so nobody wrote anything about it, which I'm thankful of. And there wasn't social media back then. But I've seen all of my sisters saved. I had the opportunity to lead my mother to Christ. I walked by her bed at midnight in her bedroom. She was living with me. She was laying on her side looking at me. I said, Mom, what are you doing? She said, I'm waiting on the Lord to save me. And I said, well, has he saved you? We begged my mother. For 30 years, I wanted her to come and live with me. And finally, in the last stages of dementia, it was our lot, and I'm thankful, grateful for that time. And so when I asked her that, said, what are you doing? She said, I'm waiting on the Lord to save me. And I said, well, did he save you? And she said, no, that's what you're here for. Now, folks, that's what we're here for. We're not here for anything else. We're here to glorify God. And as a result, an overflow is unsaved people should desire Christ. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. And if I lift him up in my day-by-day life, people will be drawn, and someday, hopefully, they'll come up and ask you, or you take that opportunity to ask them. But getting back to my sister that I call, probably more, she's taking the place of my mother. She gets on me, you know, I'm doing this, you know, you're watching your weight, no. I tell her, yeah, but no, I'm not. And I hate the spring because clothing shrinks in my closet. I've noticed that. And she's been fighting cancer. Had a letter to the Lord back about 12 years ago. She had cancer. Then her husband contracted cancer, got cancer. And he was dying rapidly, spread throughout his body, didn't have a lot of time to live. And I shared this at the Bible study at Brother John's. And I flew up there, had one day, and I did not have an opportunity to talk to him or my sister. And the Lord opened that opportunity that last night. And I stood there and I said, listen, I said, things don't look good. I said, I want to talk to you about if you were to die, that you'd go to be with the Lord. And Leon raised a Catholic all his life, accepting Christ as his Savior. And my sister did too. And 8 months later, I flew back to officiate his funeral. It was in their restaurant that they owned. And it was standing room only. And I shared with that group of people, mainly their friends, of what Leon and Nancy did. Now, Nancy has been given, this is a month ago, she's been given 6 months or more to live. She said, I got things I want to do. But the inevitable, they can't treat her. There's nothing more that they can do. And I told her last week, Nancy, I want you to read Revelation 21 and 22. It talks about a new heaven and a new earth. All of that is possible because of the resurrection. We couldn't go to Revelation 21. Jesus died. He rose again, Paul said. In fact, Brother Doug spoke of that this morning, Philippians chapter 3. That I may know Him. That I may know Him. Well, Paul, you knew Him. In fact, the book of Acts states that on the road to Damascus, he found the Lord, or the Lord found him. And he said, I want to know the Lord, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering. Do we have that type of desire? I want to know Him. Do you have that desire? You want to know Him? You want to experience the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering. Being made conformable unto His death. Now here's what Paul says. If by any means I might attain unto a better resurrection. And then he goes on to say, I press toward the mark for the prize, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And I believe Paul's efforts, he wanted to please God. He wanted to know God. He wanted to experience the power of the resurrection during the rapture, and he wanted to stand before God and allow God to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. But it all points back to that empty tomb. Jesus said, Father, if I can not drink of this cup, He said, nevertheless, not my will, but thy be done. And he drank that bitter cup of death, cup of salvation, cup of suffering. David said, I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. Perhaps you're here today and you've never taken that cup, the cup of salvation, and lifted it up and called upon the name of the Lord. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. It goes on to say, my cup runneth over. Thank God.